This podcast is brought to you by Global Trends Investment and ETF Trends. For more information, please visit etftrends.com.
Hello, this is Heather Hayes. I am the web editor of ETF Trends, and this is the ETF Trends podcast. I'm sitting here with Tom Lydon today, editor and publisher of ETF Trends. How are you today, Tom?
Hi, Heather.
All right, well, I thought we would get together and talk a little bit about metals and what's going on in that market. There's a lot of uncertainty and volatility in the markets, and investors, metals are one of the things they can think little else about. So let's talk about that. What do you see happening in metals right now?
Well, there's been, you know, a lot of popularity and a lot of discussion about metals. Again, the time's been right for metals.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, there's been uncertainty in the market. It's kind of a safe haven during times like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think above and beyond everything, investors have the ability to get into metals and commodities in general because of the big proliferation of ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, it was very difficult for your advisor or for you individually to actually buy gold. You did so maybe by buying gold coins, and that can sometimes be expensive.
Right.
There's a lot of commissions that are made. You have to store it. There's security issues. But today, in buying gold itself, there's a variety of ETFs where you can buy the metal in a very efficient, cost-effective way, and it's very liquid. If you want to buy it in the morning and sell it in the afternoon, you could do that. And there's a whole variety of metals-based ETFs that are available, giving investors many, many choices.
Yes, yeah, you've got physically backed, you've got metals and miners, you've got futures. It's just an incredible array of products.
It is. So with all those choices, how do you weave through them all? And I think, you know, as you write about and as we talk about on a regular basis, there's been a huge amount of interest in gold, and mm-hmm. and the granddaddy of all gold ETFs, GLD, put out by State Street, has $53 billion in assets. I think 140 tons of gold are stored in vaults in London, which is amazing.
Yes.
And, you know, some say, is it actually affecting the price and is actually fueling the demand? And as central banks are buying up gold as well,
mm-hmm.
that's something that's been, you know, incredibly popular, and we're hearing more and more about that. So as the average investor has access to gold, has access to metals for really the first time ever in a very easy way, gold and metals in general tend to have been their own asset class, where in the past we talked about them, but the average investor maybe only had access through maybe a mining ETF, or I'm sorry, a mining mutual fund.
Mm-hmm. And it's worth noting too, there's been a little bit of debate about whether it's more cost effective to buy a gold ETF or if you're better off buying it yourself. And iShares kind of answered that question a little bit and lowered its fees on IAU to 0.25%. So that is now the cheapest gold ETF around.
And that's a great point. So here's iShares, who is the largest ETF provider, and saw that State Street was gaining billions of assets in their gold ETF, GLD. And what they did to compete is they almost chopped their expense ratio in half.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, who benefits? The end investor.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit about silver. Silver is kind of like gold, but it's a little bit different. It's affected by different things.
Again, same way. Gold has had a lot of the attention. However, last year, silver did twice as well performance-wise as gold did.
Mm-hmm.
And silver, yes, being a precious metal, it's great for safety, it's great for being a collectible,
mm-hmm.
but it's also an industrial metal as well.
Yes.
So there's multiple demands for silver, which makes a metal that people should consider if they're putting metals in their portfolios.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got platinum, which is a little bit of both as well.
Absolutely. And we hear a lot about platinum in jewelry, but also platinum is used from an industrial standpoint too. And now we have platinum ETFs, palladium ETFs,
mm-hmm.
copper ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing how the commodities and the metals categories get split up in thinner and thinner slices. And I think we'll continue to see more choices in those areas. So the key for investors when they ask the question, how much should I allocate? Well, first consider it, number one. Number two, what we always promote is make sure you look at the general trend. So if there's an ETF like GLD that's above its 200-day average, consider it as it's above its 200-day average, but at one point in time, there could be a major correction in the metals markets, and it's important to have a stop loss. So use that 200-day average, or at least be aware of where the 200-day average lies.
Exactly. And now another thing I want to address is that, you know, we've got all these different types of metals ETFs available. We've got the physically backed, the miners, the futures. What's the case for the miners? What if an investor looks at the physically backed and says, hey, I'm not sure that's right for me? What would you tell them about the miner funds?
Well, let's say you don't have any commodities in your portfolio, and you've seen this huge run-up in gold. So gold's at, you know, $1,200 an ounce or $1,250 an ounce. It may be worth considering the miners in addition to the physically backed because, for example, it takes $275 to pull an ounce of gold out of the ground if you're a miner.
Mm-hmm.
If you can turn around and sell that ounce for $1,200, there's a huge profit margin. Probabilities are, based on the economies there, that the miners are better suited to profit in the next 6 months and have a greater run-up than physically backed gold itself, having another 20 or 30% move. However, if you buy the physically backed, you know exactly what you're buying. You don't have to look into the different miners that make up that ETF. So again, as you point out, they're different. And just because it says metals and miners doesn't mean that you're buying the physically backed. So it's important to know the distinctions between the two. And then also being aware, as you point out, of those ETFs, especially PowerShares that offers the futures on silver and gold ETFs.
Mm-hmm. And they're taxed differently. All three ETFs are taxed differently, so you need to talk with your accountant or read the prospectus and find out what those differences are, or come to our site. We write about that from time to time.
That's right, and that's important to understand as well. I think any futures-related ETF usually comes with a K-1 at the end of the year, and if you haven't received a K-1 before, you know, it's not terribly complicated, but sometimes can be disturbing.
Yes.
But your accountant knows how to handle it.
Yes. Or he should.
He should.
Well, if you are interested in finding other metals ETFs, you can come to our site and go to our analyzer and type in silver, copper, miners, and gold, platinum. You'll get all the results of both types of ETFs and leveraged and inverse ETFs. So that's a really powerful tool. And you can click on any ticker and go to the ETF resume, and we'll have the prospectus there for you, the fact sheet, the holdings, and all that good information, so you don't need to go from site to site. So be sure to stop by etftrends.com for that. And Tom, I enjoyed our conversation. I think it was enlightening.
Very timely, Heather. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.